Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find, if you would, two passages of Scripture. Both of them are in the Old Testament. Find the book of Job. The book of Job. Pastor, I always thought that was Job. Job, chapter number 1, if you would, please. And then, just find the book of Proverbs in chapter number 20. And just put something in Proverbs, chapter number 20. I'll have you get there in a few minutes. To see a verse that we will need there. Job chapter 1 will be our text. And I don't know any book of the Bible that is more intimidating to me than the book of Job. Job is a book that I tread lightly when I'm in it, that I read very carefully and hesitantly and very prayerfully. As I study it, it's not one that I try to assume too much because of the depth of the book of Job. But I do find and have been led today of the Spirit of the Lord to this book. And I want to preach today to the men of our church. Ladies, I don't want you to tune me out. There's plenty of preaching for you within the message. But my heart today is I'm after the men. I like preaching to men because I am one. And I think like one. And I react like one. And really and truthfully, we're not very much different as men. A man is a man. Matter of fact, that's part of my message. I have found that the messages that I need are the messages that men need, and what men need is what I need. And so I'm very tuned into my audience today. I feel like I have the ability to plunge the depth of their psyche, which is not a very far depth, to be honest with you. I heard that amen from over there. I feel like that I'm in good company. And I just want to say at the beginning of the message that I love the men of Plantation Baptist Church. You're an encouragement to me. You're iron to me. And you will never know sometimes in the private moments of my own heart, my own mind, when your handshake, your encouragement, your text just means the world to your pastor. And so I've come today to just share my heart with you. Preach to you and to encourage you. I think we'll laugh a little bit, but I think I can take time to let you leave here with a wonderful blessing. Most people, when they try to communicate the book of Job or the story of Job, they begin in verse number 6 of chapter number 1. And in verse number 6 of chapter number 1, the Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." If you are a Bible student or you know a little bit about the life of Job, you understand that God tests and tries and uses Job for the glory of God. You understand how God even invites Satan the opportunity to consider his servant Job. And you know how Satan touches his life and believes that he can rob Job from walking in his integrity. And that the only reason that Job worships God or praises God is because God is good to him. That was not true. Job worshiped and praised God because he knew God and he loved God. And you know the story of Job's life, and you know how it goes through, and how he loses, and his family, and how he loses his wealth, and he loses his health, and all of these things. But you know how he stays faithful. The Bible says, "In all of this, yet Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly with his lips." And so from chapter 1, verse number 6, to the end, most men and most people can tell the story of Job. However, today's Father's Day, and I find within the first 5 verses of chapter number 1 a wonderful message today for our men. And I want to preach to you today a message entitled "A Perfect Man." I have some things written on my paper. First thing I wrote was, men, don't tune me out just because you heard the word perfect. Ladies, don't say, not my man. I practiced that. Did that come out okay? In my office, I had a little, but I won't do that for you. And I was trying, it's kind of embarrassing. I embarrassed myself a little bit there. Not my man. I told Reuben, I said, Reuben, when you put the message up on Facebook and you kind of let the people know what's coming, I want the title to say, A Perfect Man. He does exist. Now, I know what everybody's thinking right now. Yeah, that man would be Jesus Christ. Well, we know that. Amen. He's perfect. But look at verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. Now we got a problem. Because in a man's mind, it's very comforting to find a place in a thought where only Jesus can be that. So we excuse ourselves. Well, I'm not God, or I'm not the Lord, or only the Lord can do that. But we find in the scripture that there was a man that walked the face of the earth whose name was Job. The Bible said he was a perfect man. Well, Pastor, he must have been the only one. You know, it's funny, when you read and you study for the book of Job, you will find that there are people that, quote unquote, say they know the Bible, and they want to say that Job was not a real person. You'd be amazed how many people don't think Job was a real person that was in the Bible, that walked the face of the earth. The problem is, he's mentioned in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, he's mentioned in the New Testament, and the book of James, and I submit to you that Job is a real person. And the fact, it's kind of interesting, because the title is A Perfect Man, and a lot of times we think, well, that does not exist. It's funny that they want to say that, well, Job didn't exist. Well, Pastor, when you mean perfect, what do you mean? Good question. Very, very good question. When we're talking about the word perfect, we're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not talking about a man without mistakes. We're not talking about a man that does everything perfect in his life. What we're talking about here is defined by his character. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and, say that word, upright. That word upright is the word right in conduct, right in character. And when you diagnose the word perfect and you dissect it, really what you're talking about is the word integrity. When you boil that word down in your study, matter of fact, even if you have a study Bible, it may even say that word by the word perfect. You will come with words that mean complete or mature. Boy, if there's ever a word that has a hard time describing the men of the culture today, it would be maturity. It amazes me how much of a lack of maturity there is in men today. I don't mean to be ugly, I just mean to be factual here. It used to be, if you think about World War II and you think about that generation, really and truthfully, a man used to mature around 17, 18, 19 years of age. Many of those men lied about their age at 17 or 16 to even get into the war. Now, when you think about the maturity level of the average male, where it used to be around 18, 19, 20, 21, now you're talking 29, 30, 31, 32, sometimes 105. I would submit to you that our culture and our way of life is severely hindered and hampered based on the immaturity of the men of our culture. Now, I don't necessarily think that to be the men of this church, but let me tell you something. Turn your television on. Men are making millions being stupid. And the women are just flaunting all over them. And the money is following them. And it's sad what's happening in our culture today. Job was a man that was described as a perfect man. I want to say something to you, men, and I want you to hear me with all my heart. You too can be a perfect man. Pastor, you don't know my background. I've already messed up. You don't know what I'm involved in now. You don't understand. No, what we're talking about here is not your individual behavior. We're talking about your integrity. And I don't care if you're black, white, purple, yellow. I don't care if you're rich, poor. I don't care if you're married, divorced, single. I don't care if you're a criminal or a police officer. I don't care if you have a job or you're unemployed. If you're a man, you can have integrity. The reason I know you can be and know this perfection is because in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that those in Christ have been perfected. So this position of integrity that Job has in his life is not one that he just sort of attained himself. Look at his foundation for this integrity. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. And the Bible says that he was a perfect and an upright man, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He feared God and he shunned evil. The reason for his maturity and the reason for his integrity and the reason for his completeness, or the reason that he was described as a perfect man or a whole man, was because Job had come to a position where he feared God, reverenced God, knew God, walked with God. His right character or his conduct was based upon the righteousness that he found in the Lord or with God. Job even talks about his Redeemer. Job talks about these relationships there. Men, many of us, let me rephrase that. All of us find ourselves as men struggling sometimes. Sometimes men will tell me, Pastor, I'm just struggling here. I'm struggling there. I'm engulfed here. I'm encapsulated here. I'm find myself imprisoned in this. The greatest freedom you can know as a man is a reverential fear of the living God. This is Job. Job is described as a perfect man, complete and whole, and a man of integrity. This is the type of man that every home needs. This is the type of man that God is looking for. This is the type of man that God can make in and of himself. This ought to be the responsibility of every man to know this integrity in their life. You find in verses 2 and 3, not only is he described as a perfect man, but we find him to be a patterned man. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 2. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's quite a household. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household. Now watch this. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. What a description. He is a pattern here to the men of the East, as he is envied of the men of the East. He's exalted in leadership to the men of the East. And we find that he is a man with tremendous possession and tremendous position. He was a wealthy man. And yet, when you read verse number 2 about these children that were born unto him, there were born, and the Bible says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. The scripture itself lends to the fact that these children were a gift to Job. It doesn't say per se that he had them or he created them. When you read the text, it says, and there was born unto him. When you go on to read, you find not only was he blessed by these, he was also blessed with tremendous wealth. Children were established and a sign of great wealth. He had tremendous wealth. And yet in all of this wealth and blessing, Job remains humble. This is where a lot of men struggle. Pride is a nasty, nasty, nasty emotion. I want to say a couple of things here, men. A perfect man understands, a man of integrity understands that everything he has is because God gave it to him. And he doesn't let what God gives to him exalt him in pride. He lets it abase him in humility. And so nowhere does Job take the wealth and attribute it to his own. I don't know if you know this or not. It's so counter to the culture today. There does not exist a self-made man. It's funny how the culture is so backwards. The culture would say, well, there doesn't exist a perfect man. But the Bible says a perfect man exists. And the culture would say, I'm a self-made man. And the Bible would say, there's no such thing as a self-made man. Now, men, don't let that hurt you. Don't let Satan take those words and affect you. You may have created something. You may have invented something. You know achievement. You know accomplishment. You have wisdom. You have initiative. You have direction. You may have built a business. You may have turned an idea into something. There's a creative part to you. God has enabled you to attain. You know achievement. You know accomplishment. And you have all these things. But I need you to understand that your imagination and your creativity came out of your brain. My man has a brain, right? So let me ask you this question. Who gave you your brain? God did. See, we tend to think that what we create upon the earth just began with us. And the reality is, it did in some essence begin with you as God enables that, but it's God that gave you the ingenuity. It's God that gave you the thought. It's God that lets your brain tell your fingers how to work. It's God that lets this heart go. And anytime God wants it to stop, it will stop. It's God that lets you have a thought. It's God that lets you rash. This is why evolution is so damning. This is why you cannot believe in the Bible and believe in evolution. This is why you must understand that God created you. If you just believe that you are the beginning and the end all, then there's no way that you're going to reckon God in your life. There's no way you're going to reckon that. And sure, pride's going to come into play. But when you reckon, as Job did, that God had created him, and it's God that gave him these abilities, then the wealth and the position and the possession that Job had did not create in his heart pride. Men, listen to what your pastor's about to tell you. God will never bless an institution before he blesses a man. God, I want you to bless my home Good prayer. But God's not going to bless your home apart from you. God, I want you to build this business. God is never going to build your business apart from you. God, I want you to bless my prayer. God, I want you to bless this church and this ministry. God will destroy Plantation Baptist Church to get my attention. God doesn't bless institutions. He blesses men. So when you read about Job, if you were to begin the story of Job, many times we could say, well, there was a man in the land of Uz. Let me tell you about this man. This man had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he had all of this wealth, and he was the greatest man. And then we would say, oh, by the way, he was a Christian that loved God. No, God, when he wrote let the book of Job be written, he began with Job's spiritual nature first. It was because of Job there that God blessed the man, and God, Job realized the blessing of God upon himself, and then he never took credit for what credit belonged to God. And by the way, God's worthy of our praise. So this is this man, a man of integrity, a man perfect and upright and complete. All of us can be that in the Lord. All of us can be that in our character. He's a prioritized man. This is all in introduction, by the way. Boy, I'm ahead of myself. It should be 11:55. It's only 11:45. Write these down. In verses 4 and 5, when you read these, the Bible says his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, which would be 10. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God, where class, in their hearts. Thus did Job how? Regularly, continually. Let me give you some priorities of a perfect man. Write them down. A perfect man's first priority is his spiritual life. Himself. The Bible says the steps of good men are ordered of the Lord. Men. The first priority in your life is not your job. It's your spiritual life. Now, don't tell me that you don't have time. Because Job is evidence to the contrary that the right priority is my spiritual life first. A perfect man realizes that he cannot be a godly husband unless he's godly himself. I cannot be a godly employer or employee unless I'm godly myself. I cannot be a godly dad unless I'm godly myself. See, you can't give what you don't possess. So here's what women don't understand about men. Oh, Pastor, you're going to go there? Yeah. In the mind, and this is just me speaking for all of us. I'm lumping myself in with you. Down deep in the mind and the heart of a man, he doesn't want to be fake. And he hates his own hypocrisy. It kills him. It frustrates him. He doesn't know what to do with it. He goes to God and begs God for forgiveness for it. He's not going to talk to his wife about it. It's just not going to happen. He's going to try to keep it from everybody else. But a man doesn't want to be fake. So here's the wrestle in the man's mind. We're weak in our own abilities to stay faithful to the Lord. We don't get it. We don't have enough to get it spiritually right. And we're not going to minister when we're not spiritually right. So the best thing that a man will do is he'll just quit. Ladies, a man will always hide from things that touch him like that. And so here's what's happening in our culture. Saved men, because we don't walk with the Lord for whatever reason, we don't feel like we have the right to provide leadership. We don't feel like we have the right to stand up there. We know you don't know, but we know God knows. We know we know. And so really and truthfully, the default button is we just stop providing spiritual leadership. And it's very easy for a man to hide behind his wife here. The silence is deafening. So men, understand this. Spiritual victory in a vibrant spiritual life is available to every saved man. It's not rocket science. So Job, in his priorities, said, I'll never be to Mrs. Job or to my children what I need to be if I'm not spiritually right myself. Number two, a perfect man puts family over business. Relational and spiritual. This man was wealthy. This man was busy. This man was all of those things. But you find as he approaches his life, he puts family over business. I have been with many a man at the end of their lives. I've never heard any of them say they wish they'd build a bigger business, but I've heard a lot of them regret what they did to their family. Now, here's my battle. My battle is right here, men. I'm just laying my heart right here. Step on it if you want to. I'm as busy as you are. You're as busy as me. I don't think any of us can necessarily exalt ourselves over anybody else. We're all busy. My phone rings nonstop. When my phone rings, it's not normally somebody saying, hey, Pastor, how's your day going? It's somebody screaming in the night. I know when I say hello and I don't hear Pastor, I got a problem, right? People call me, I got to go. Well, then that could take a toll on a family. Heavy toll on a family. So I battle in my own organization and my thoughts and my mind, my family, and it's a crude way to say this, but my business. Now, here's an approach the man has. A man has to do what God calls him to do. No doubt about that. Sometimes there is the leaving of the family. But I'm not willing to let my family go to hell so my business can thrive. And the thing about a man is a man was made to work. A man loves to work, right? A woman does not understand how much satisfaction a man gets by working. Well, then why don't my man do anything around the house? Let me rephrase that. How much satisfaction a man gets working outside the house, right? If women knew the satisfaction a job brings to a man, they have no idea. They're not made like us, right? But men, that God didn't give that to you as a mistake. God gave your work ethic to be prioritized. So when you read verse number 5, it's Job that has prioritized his work ethic. And he's prioritized a spiritual work ethic. If men could put as much energy into their spiritual life and into the spiritual life of their home as they do in their job, Think about what would happen in the salvation of our kids. Now, let me show you something, men. Here's why your spiritual work in the life of your home is so important. In verse number 5, Job's offering these sacrifices, right? And because he doesn't know if his kids have sinned, and look at the end of verse 5, and curse God in their what? Hearts. Men, the only way you're going to ever know your kid's heart is on your knees. And it is the job of every man, and it's the evidence of a perfect man as he does spiritual warfare and work for his family, that God is revealing the hearts of his kid. Now, men, we're not really, really good at mushy types of conversations. I find this true with my own son. We're like one word back and forth. How you doing? Good. What'd you do today? Not much. How you feeling? All right. What'd you eat? Food. What do you need? Money. That's Tommy and I, right? But Job, in his priority, said, my spiritual life comes first, individually, as a man. My family is over my business. Nothing matters to me more than my family. And my work ethic is also prioritized. And the number one job that I have is to know the heart of my children. So I'm asking you, Dad, do you know the hearts of your kids? By the way, Job's children don't live in his home anymore. So that care never leaves. Well, they're out of my house now. That's fine, but you still should pray for the children even when they're out of your house. God knows we want them out, right? Write these thoughts down. A perfect man has some understanding. Number one, nothing is more important than his spiritual life or his family's spiritual life. Nothing. Not money, not success, not fame. Now, I want to say something here about this, men, because I think Job is a wonderful picture of balance. An unbalanced or imbalanced man is not a blessing. He's hard to live with. Job balanced wealth. He balanced work. He balanced family. He balanced worship. All of these things were part of his life, but he had them prioritized and proper. You know, sometimes men don't understand balance, and so let me just describe what that would look like. Sometimes you have a man, when he gets into something, he's all into it. Maybe you're married to this guy. He got into fishing, he bought a Bass Pro Shop, right? He got into golf, so he bought Edwin Watts. We don't even have Edwin Watts anymore. I don't know what we do. He got into this, so racing, so he bought him a car. He gets into this. Pastor, my man is just in one thing. And then he takes all that and puts it on offer up or let it go. That's really evidence of an imbalanced person. It's evidence of a lack of satisfaction. It's a lack of peace within him. Nothing wrong with hobbies. I have hobbies too, and I enjoy them. But start, stop, go, different, change. We're so imbalanced. Do you know what brings balance to your life? The Bible. A man who is not consistently reading his Bible is an imbalanced man. And Job has a balanced life. So important is that. Write this down. Number two. Job understood that those kids were going to stand before God. He understood that those kids were going to spend eternity somewhere. By the way, the Bible says there's only two places a person goes when they die, either to heaven or to hell. Job did not want to let his kids die and stand before God and not be prepared. He had blessed them physically. He had blessed them with wealth. He had probably passed off some of the business to them. He had got them to know each other as a family. I mean, they had a wonderful family atmosphere. But at the end of the day, Job knew that those kids were going to stand before God. A perfect man has that type of reasoning. By the way, a perfect man knows he's going to stand before God. So when I know that I'm going to stand before God, then that burdens me for my children to stand before God. And Job knows this. And so he wanted to prepare. He wanted to know their hearts. Listen, you can leave your kids all the money in the world. They're going to stand before God. Pass them your family business. Fine. Make it as comfortable as you can. Seems like we pay for everything for our kids anyway today. But ultimately, your son and your daughter are going to stand before God. And I'm telling you right now, as a parent and as a man, it is my job to provide the leadership to make sure that their hearts are prepared. Number three. Job understood time. Job understood that he was not guaranteed tomorrow. Now, I have this problem, and I'm just exposing myself because sometimes you give me more credit for being spiritual than I am. Go to verse number 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up, how, class? Early. Let me ask one question. Let me follow up with a couple of statements. Are you the first one out of bed, man? I'm not always the first one out of bed in my house. Now, some of you work nights. Some of you work different shifts. I understand that. Job provided leadership to his family. Probably while they were still asleep, Job was getting up. I would like to say that your pastor always rises early. My feet don't even touch the ground. I'm so spiritual. I just kind of float to the table. There's this allure of light that fills the room. And the Bible just comes alive. Not even close. Perfect man, a man of integrity, gets his butt out of bed. I remember when I was a kid, I would sleep in. My dad would put the fear of God in me. Any other anybody else remember that? Son? If I come home and I catch you in that bed, you're going to meet Jesus. All men want to do today is sleep. I understand we're tired. I understand we're hardworking. I understand there's a time to sleep. But you also ought to be getting up early and spiritually protecting your house and spiritually providing for yourself. Job got up early. By the way, every man can get up. Lastly. Nothing more important to Job than his spiritual life and his family's spiritual life. He had an understanding that his kids were going to stand before God one day. He knew he didn't have much time, so he took advantage of the day and the time, and he rose up early. And I want to write this down. When you get to the end of Job's life at the end of the book, and you can just read that for yourself, the last chapter. Job understood what a man is. And I want to do my best to give you my definition of a man. I was thinking about this. How do you describe a man? Oh, all jokes aside. Is a man strictly based on age? Is a man based on experience? Is a manhood based on possession? Is manhood based on marriage? Is manhood based on having children? I mean, if you really wanted to boil it down, think for just a moment. What makes a male a man? I came up with three words, and I think you'll find them in the life of Job. Disciplined, consistent, and faithful. Disciplined, consistent, and faithful. That does not make him robotic. That does not make him a general or a lieutenant. Your wife and your family are not in the army, and you're not the general. Disciplined. Disciplined in his routine? No. Even though the older I get, the more routined I am. I'm so routined, I forgot my wedding band today. Do you know what it's like to call your wife and say, I forgot my wedding band, could you bring it to church? My wedding band's always on my dresser. I put my watch on, put my wedding band on. Last night, for some reason, I put my wedding band in the kitchen. I don't know what I was doing. And my routine was, and I didn't have it. It's not discipline called a routine. Disciplined in our spirit. Self-control. A man is one that has discipline in his spirit. That discipline and that control comes as the Spirit of God fills our spirit. Listen, just because you can be sexually active doesn't make you a man. Just because you can be impulsive and get what you think belongs to you doesn't make you a man. A perfect man, one that has integrity, according to the Bible, is one that his spirit is disciplined by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care who you are as a man, you can have that by the Spirit of God. Consistent. Consistency is so difficult in all of our lives. We're so inconsistent. Let me explain to you how to be consistent. Consistency demands preparation. Do you think it took a lot to put 10 burnt offerings together? Men, preparation is so important to us. Things don't just happen. You've got to prepare for them. That's why you need a prayer closet. That's why you need a place to read your Bible. That's why the night before you ought to open your Bible. Take your Bible, lay it out. Make your plan to be prepared. Prepared people are consistent. Unprepared people never know consistency. Consistency doesn't just happen. It's something you have to make happen. Lastly, it's faithful. And how do I become faithful? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the what? Word of God. All of these things the Lord Jesus does. Men, take it from your pastor. We can be a perfect man. We can be a man of our integrity. This is the work that the Lord Jesus does for us. Prioritized in our lives with proper motives and understanding of what it is to be a man. I would say this. God's looking for a few good men. May we be those men. Shall we pray?